Human Real 8. We were talking about your time at Fredsted in Schleswig-Holstein, and I wondered if you were aware of black market activities by...
Not at Fredsted.
Not at?
I wasn't aware of them there, because there's very little need for it there. Because we've been there for so long, and because the family feelings which have been built up there to some extent, there is very little need for it. We looked after the kids, and it was a farming area anyway, so they weren't exactly short of food. I became aware of it later on.
Okay.
Not in Bedstead. We were well looked after there actually. We couldn't go home on, we did have leave obviously, but we couldn't have leave every week. But regularly we were taken over to one of the islands off the coast, Four Island, for a weekend or a week. And we'd spend a week there bathing, like just as a seaside holiday.
It's a local leave, really.
Yeah, and the food was excellent. The food was very good at Bredstedt, off our source, and it's even better at Four. But it's only an hour's trip from the on boat. Take it down to the coast, go up to Flensburg, or to the little port just up the road, catch a boat across, hour there, stay in what had been a big hotel, and have a relaxing time. We also spent a fair amount of time with sports. We had an extremely good football team.
Did you play?
I didn't. I was never up to their standard. I mean, they had a very, very high standard.
Was the sport, I mean, that's sort of sport for the elite, you know, but was the sport for the rest of you, organised,
oh,
you know,
yes.
For just kickabout more?
Well, yeah,
or just
but, I mean, we had company teams and things like that, or other squadron teams, but our regimental team was extremely good. And that's most of them were an HQ squadron. Our squadron team was very good. One of them subsequently played for West Ham, Albert Fone, inside forward, scored a lot of goals for West Ham.
Any other sports?
We started not, we just, somebody just suggested Speedway. Then, don't forget, we, at the time we were there, we were up there at the, in June, so basically coming into the football season. There weren't anywhere to play cricket, which was our summer sport, but we played football. There weren't any many rugby players there, so it became soccer, and we played soccer through the winter. And we, as I said, we had a very, very good team. Somebody had suggested Speedway, but it did, nothing happened there. And then from Christmas onwards, people were gradually shipped out to go to other places.
What
Woody
about
Mott has started?
Woody Mott, I mean, weren't the earlier groups, you know, the older men, starting to go?
Yes.
Right from, even from June, July?
Not July, August, yeah. July, August-ish.
And were people looking forward to the demobilisations?
Oh, yes, definitely. And our friend Dave was one of the first to go. The oldest man of the unit and been since day one.
Dave Finlay?
Yeah. And everybody was sorry to see him go.
What, did you there have a party? Were the parties?
There was a real party when he went. Yeah. The demob groups went every fortnight, and there tended to be a party for that demob group.
What would the party be like?
Alcoholic. To start with, it tended to be in billets, because there wasn't anywhere else. But gradually clubs were set up.
How? What clubs? I mean, by the regiment or by the locals?
By the regiment. Nothing would come in and there'd be nothing or something like that. I mean, we had this big sort of community centre where we did the classes and everything. And we'd also arrange for people to go on pre-demob courses, so somebody who's interested in, say, electrical work, we'd arrange for them to go away on a 2 or 3 week course in basic electrics, somewhere or other.
Was there any resentment at how slow it was, the demobilisations? Because it isn't.
Yes, oh God, yes. A lot of people thought they'd go in and they'd all be out quickly.
By quickly, you mean by when?
Well, everybody thought they were in for a duration.
So
I suddenly realised they weren't in just for a duration. Then the war didn't finish until
August.
Yeah. And so that's when the demob really started, August. Not till then. Because some of the early groups for demob were out in the Middle East, out in the Far East. So you couldn't have... There was some resentment, I think, that the RAF seemed to get demobbed much quicker than the army did. But people did realise that within your own service, within your own regiment, so-and-so was 2 years older than you and had been in 2 years longer than you, was only fair that they should get it before you did. I think that was accepted. There tended to be resentment that it was only once a fortnight instead of once every 2 days or something like that. But you accepted it. Then gradually, as I said, people disappeared. Some for demob from August onwards. Some to go to other units. And by February...
So you were at Bradstead right through to February?
I was one of the last ones to go, oddly enough. We were there, and then the regiment just finally just disbanded completely. And the last ones of us, quite a few of us, went to the first half of the fourth of the other room. We went to Sleswick first.
How did you feel, you know, when the regiment was actually disbanded in February then?
That's what I said about my feeling in that particular regiment. A little bit despondent. It was never quite the same again. We went to the first fight and fourth of the Yeomanry.
Where were they?
They were doing. We went to Sleswick first, and we were there a fortnight, 3 weeks, and then we went down to the first fight and fourth. I mean, most of the remains of the second went down there, and of course up the street.
And where were they?
The village just outside Hanover.
And do you know the name of it?
I can't remember it. It's only an hour's bus journey, tram journey, want that. About 3 or 4 miles.
That was February 46.
Yeah. And that's when we started the Speedway team.
Tell me about your Speedway activities then.
Well, we had one or two people who were very, very keen on motorbiking. And when we got down to Hanover, we found that the first five and fourth had a couple of people who were interested in Speedway. And at the Hanover Stadium, which was a big stadium in Hanover, there was a dirt track, a Speedway track. And one or two of the units stationed there already had teams. And so the first 5 for 4 for Yeomanry said, right, we'll have one. And there's a bloke called Gordon Fiddler. He was like me, he wasn't a rider, but he was interested in the idea of adapting bikes. And he drove them everywhere, and me and a couple of others rigged up the bikes, and we had about a half dozen people who were really good who rode. We beat.
How did you set the bikes up?
In many cases, we used a Triumph frame, which we shortened by about 2 inches by putting a bend in the forks, in the front frame, sorry. We put a BSA 500 pot on the 350 crankcase, took a bit off the top, put the head back on. Remember, the Triumph was a red valve, the BSA was a side valve, And we put a plate in it and built the compression ratio up to a hell of a rate, 8-1 I think it was. We put a lot, built a, in workshops, we cut rear wheel, rear cogs for a rear wheel to bring the ratio down. And we used a liter, a lethal mixture of alcohol and high octane petrol. We burnt the valves out nobody in no time whatever. But it, and we actually, our unit actually built 8 new cross. They came up one day. New cross speedway team came over and we beat them. That was of course another celebration. Anyhow, we were there.
How did the unit, did the first five and four far, did they, were they different? I mean, they seemed different to you.
Yeah, their uniform was different. It was, listen.
In what way?
The 5 and 4th Yeomanry wore a cap badge with a piece of plaid behind it. The first 5 and 4th Yeomanry had a cap badge, no cap behind it, but it had collar dogs. We didn't have collar, the second didn't have collar dogs. That's a real basic difference. But we, no.
What about between the actual quality of the unit? I mean, was there a family atmosphere in that unit as well?
I don't know. We weren't there long enough because they were in the same position as us. They were in the process of disbanding. Everybody was just killing time then, except a few regulars. They were just killing time until they got demobbed.
So the demobilisations were going on?
Yeah. And you were just killing time. We had one bloke. That's where I became playing out a bit with the black market.
What? Tell me about that.
In we got issued cigarettes, and in Hanover itself, there was a very large Salvation Army canteen, but in a huge park. And if you want to get rid of your cigarettes for German money, that was the place to do it. You could do it. I mean, nobody, a lot of people didn't have much time for it, because they, what were they going to do with the German money? But then we found there were the Germans who were really black marketeers had access to our occupation money. And so it became a bit more acceptable. But we had one bloke in the first fives who went into it a big way. He wasn't worried what money he got, and he finished up owning a lot of property in Hanover. He actually had the deeds for it. He's carried them around with everywhere. He had the deeds of this property, so he got himself into it at the end.
Did you take part at all?
Oh, I did. If anybody says they didn't, I'm bloody liars.
Did you make much money?
No. That's not fair. I made what I wanted. There was nothing to spend it on, so what's the use of having it? But there was the canteen, and it meant that you could go out and have a bit better meal, that's all, basically.
Anything else you were doing in Hanover?
Not really. We were all just killing time.
So no duties?
Only basic guard duties around your own camp, you know, around the village. But there was nothing to guard against. It was always looked on as a bit of a scythe. They ran, once again, we were running parties for the kids and for the locals. And they had dances to which the locals were invited. We had a very good unit band, dance band, and they played for dancing. And then that lingered on until October.
So you were there till October?
Yeah, September, October, about that time. And then
How did you feel about it? That's a long time to wait for that.
I was waiting till February. And one went till October, till September. And one went, I was still waiting. We're all in the same boat. But don't forget, where other people are coming in because the call-up was still on. And where people coming out, we were just being caught up, just coming into the army.
So replacement draft.
Yeah.
Now, what happened in October then?
Well, towards the end of August, beginning of September, going through to October, the 1st, 5th, and 4th Yeomen broke down. They were disbanded and went home. And
did they return home or disband?
I don't know, because I went before the whole lot of them went. I was a bit earlier there. And all of the people who'd been in the Speedway team there went to the same place. We went to the 8th Hussars at Linden, which is on the German-Dutch border.
The 8th Hussars?
Yeah. Once again, we were just killing time. But there we were in the barracks, a proper barracks.
What were they like, the barracks? It's
not bad at all. Not at all bad. Not at all bad, those barracks. Very comfortable. And we were quite comfortable there, but it was well equipped. We had our own clubhouse. We had our own playing fields. But remember, we were just killing time. We were. But the 8th Hussars weren't. They were a regular unit. And so they had tanks, they had everything else. But we weren't interested. Basically, we were just weren't interested. We were just waiting for time. And then we had the Speedway team still, we had a football team. And while we were there, waiting, I was in the 8th Hussars, quite a few people who had joined up with me at Warminster, April 23rd, all turned up because we were all in the same demob group. And they turned up there, ready to be demobbed. One of them been there longer than us, some have been there a long time, you know. But remember I said about this bloke first, when I first joined up with him, my next bedmate was a bloke from Marlborough. He turned up there, still a trooper. And I was surprised because I thought he'd done what too long ago. Now he's still a trooper, he's waiting to be demobbed as well. And the bloke called, another fellow always around Popplewell, came from Yorkshire. I hadn't seen him since I went to Bovington. And suddenly he turned up to be demobbed on the same day as I was. And I said, we were just killing time there, playing football, going to the club. And then just before Christmas, mid-December, my group came up. We went to Ostend, went across the Harwich, went up to York, got issued with a grey pinstripe suit, a trilby hat and a Mac, and a pair of silly shoes. A striped shirt and tie, and I went on.
So that was December 1946.
And I officially left the army on the first week in February 47.
I know what you mean. Now, how are you going to get back into civilian life?
Great difficulty. I could have gone back to remember by then. There I was. Been away in the army for a few years. I'd done a lot of different things and I came back and we were promised our city speed job back. Could you really imagine me going back to his junior class at Purley's? Anyway. Like a lot of people, I had a hell of a job to settle down, or I really did. I went to work on the railway first, electrical work. Hated it. Then I went into the officers of the railway, engineer's department. bit better. But I had to work there as well. And I wouldn't wear that.
What was your problem in settling down?
I think a lot of people in the services had jobs to settle down.
Why?
I went in the army as an 18-year-old. Knew nothing about anything. Came out as a married man. Who'd been away from home for 3.5 years. But there was a time. Before I left Bradstead, I'd been offered a chance of applying for a commission in the Army Educational Corps. After all, I was qualified. I had an HND. I have a matriculation. But it weren't meant staying on for 2 years. And I had no ambition to stay in the Army at that time. And so I turned it down. There were times afterwards, during the first 2 or 3 years afterwards, that I also had taken it. We missed the camaraderie. We missed the comradeship that we got used to. We'd missed a bit where we were all reliant upon each other, because we were. We looked after each other. This is what I mean about the fight being one big happy family. Obviously we had disagreements at times, but we were generally speaking. We looked after each other, we were happy together. And we wanted to be. And that's what I think we all missed.
So how did you settle down eventually?
In 1949, a bit browned off along the railway. And I was a bit browned off. I wasn't happy at work. And the job was exercised as just a general clerk in local government. And I applied for it. And I got it. And I went to work at Southampton Council. A much larger office, and I suddenly found that to a great extent that same feeling existed. You relied on each other to a great extent. And although I was only a clerk there, I'd been in a short while and I got promotion fairly quickly, a grey up. Then I went away, was given a chance to do day release, and I did a diploma in public administration at Southampton University College, which gave me another string of a bow sort of thing. And then I was able to convert that to a BA, and suddenly I found myself qualified. But I still doing clerical work. And I enjoyed Southampton, but from there I went to Hampshire County as a chief clerk in one department. Didn't like Hampshire County very much, it was too regimented. But I did enjoy the work still, so I still enjoyed local government. And the job was advertised at Liverpool as a registrar in a technical college. And I applied for it, and I got it, and I went up there, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And after another year, I had the opportunity to become a careers officer. I was qualified. I had the necessary qualifications to go and do it. I had all the experience necessary to go and do it. And I stayed there for...
So that's careers officer at the college?
No, at the college, and became a local authority careers officer, working in Liverpool. And I went in as a basic rate careers officer, and became an area careers officer. I was the area careers officer in Liverpool when I retired. And I thoroughly enjoyed the job. I enjoyed the work. I enjoyed meeting people. I enjoyed the people I worked with. And I settled down in 1949 when I went into local government. People moan about local government and say, you know, but it's got a lot in its favour. And I found that to a great extent, the things I had missed from the army were working together the combo shipment was there. On the railway, nobody seemed to be working with you, always seemed to be working against each other. But there, you seemed to be working with each other, and all the feelings, everything I missed in the service was not everything, but a lot of things I missed in the service were back.
But did the war have any other effects on you, either mentally or physically, would you say? I mean, you'd been wounded, things like that?
I don't think so. I don't know about mentally, because I don't know what it would have been like if I hadn't been in the service.
What about physically? Did your wounds have any effect?
I'd felt this for a long while in my head. That's what I said when I had to have haircuts. It was physically painful. Not anymore. For a long time, little bits of shrapnel used to pop out. Whenever I used to, you remember the old mass x-rays for tuberculosis? Whenever I used to go there, I used to have to go back for a second one, because the little bits of shrapnel would show up as shadows. But no, it's never affected me. I don't think it's ever affected me. I just don't know. Because I don't know what I would have been like otherwise.
And what about your contacts with the Fife and Forfar? I mean, recently you've joined the South of the Border group, but...
Like a lot of people, when I came out of a service, that was it. I didn't want to know anything else about it. I missed it, oddly enough. As I said, I missed it very much. But I never wanted really any ties with it. Well, to be honest, I did think on a couple of occasions about going back in again. Early on. Sorry. I did think about it. But I never did anything about it. But I never wanted to rake up old memories. And I never thought about joining regimental associations or anything like that. Never thought of them, about one minute. Until we moved here, always going to the Legion, mind. But never thought until I saw the Legion magazine, the advertisement that Jeff Hayward put in about the first meeting in the Safe to the Border group. And I thought, well, I'll be damned. But let's have a bash and see what happens. And I rang him, and I went there, and I met people. People whose face I knew, even after 50 years. Well, I couldn't give a hell they were.
And was it worth it? I mean, you know, was it...
Yes, I think so. I've only been able to go to a couple of the reunions, unfortunately. Went to the first one at Milton Keynes, I went to one at Oxford. And the Oxford one was funny because I met a bloke there that I did remember. He came in Canada. And that was it. But yes, I have enjoyed belonging to the association. I think it's been a good thing.
Thank you very much.